up top, we're going up top. All the other formations, they surely have to stop. We're going up top, we're going up top. Jamie and Jordan, the bullshit never stops.
You're listening to the One Up Top podcast, hosted by Jamie and Jordan. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast and all of our social media outlets at One Up Top Podcast.
And a very big welcome back to this week's episode of One Up Top. I was like everything in the Bohemian world, the sunshine doesn't last too long. Like the Irish weather came pissing down, thundering down on Friday night up in Derry. The Battle of the Bogside wasn't much of a fight from the Bohemians, but they will march on down to Thornham's Cross this weekend. I am delighted to be joined by Owen Patton, former guest, and Brian Kelly as well, another former guest there. I suppose the best way to describe the three of us is Pat is probably a standard maker when it comes to bowls. You know, he's always expecting more. He'll always say bowls should be competing. There's no reason why we can't be competing. Kelly is a bit of the realist. He sort of says, look, it's shite, and it's always been shite, and it will always be shite. Just get with it. And I am the delusionist. Yeah. So one win, and I don't see us stop winning. One loss, and I don't see us winning the game again. Anyway, lads, how are you getting on?
Not too bad, Jordan. Tired.
Hey, Jordan.
No, little nubbin, deciding not to sleep again. So, bollocks. But other than that, all good, yeah.
Yeah, you're two nubbins up. Kelly has one nubbin up. Supposed to be snipping a little soon for you, Patrick, yeah. Anyway.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Not more for me. Peace is put out the pasture now at this stage.
Yeah, I suppose Lizzie's about five or six to go, I suppose, on Staunton terms.
Not at all, no way. No, we're in Kelly terms here. Year this year ahead of us, you know.
Yeah, well, I do appreciate the lads for coming on and having a yap about the Bohemians. I suppose we'll start off with the Aviva Stadium. I know a lot of people are giving out, the biggest issue being giving up home advantage. Looking around the stadium, pretty much seemed like it was probably home advantage. You know, outnumbered Rovers, not 2-1, but, you know, with a fair few extra thousand sitting in the stands.
Yeah, like it was, I don't think anyone that had any issues with it was a bit of an idiot. Like, you know, it was there to make money, and it did, and made plenty of it. Like, when I first heard it announced, I didn't think it would get over 30,000. I thought it would get somewhere between 25 and 30. So, I mean, it was great. It was a great occasion. Great for the league, really good publicity. And, you know, the last couple of weeks before it, now, the last 2 weeks, it really plugged in. Yeah, it went off really well. I think it was well received by the general public, and obviously it was a great result for us in the end. So the home advantage thing didn't matter in the end. So yeah, it was a good day. It was a bit, in my opinion, you would probably agree with me, it was a bit different. The atmosphere was a bit lacking, maybe, but that's what happens. And if so many, you know, families and whatever, it wasn't the usual sort of vile sort of atmosphere which was lacking a bit, but you know, we got the results, so it was a good day. Yeah,
yeah, a few quitters, yeah, made there. What did you think of the event?
Yeah, it was a pretty day out. Like, I brought the little fella, it was like his first
proper
big
game. Oh, did you? Didn't know that, yeah.
I was brilliantly loved every minute of it now, but like, as you said, it was a completely different, like, derby experience. It wasn't like we got the dart trying over, and it was just both fans mixing, and it just felt very weird, like, you know, the way. But it was a great day out. I wouldn't be of the fan of doing it like two or three times a year. I think once that's enough, and let's stay in daily amount now until we get kicked out of it, really, like, you know, the way.
Yeah, absolutely agree with you there, 100%.
I disagree with you, but could you make this an annual first game of the season? I know a lot of clubs won't be happy that ball picking deals the victors, but that's a benefit to the big clubs. I suppose, I think you could make it an annual thing. I know a lot of people probably might not want that, but first game of the season, you've done Bowls and Rovers every year, it's a traditional thing. Build it up. Would it fade away, giving it a one-off every year, or do you think it'd build it more and more?
I don't know. The way the league is going now, it's just the passionate, or the numbers are there. Like, you know, even if it was a Pats or Shells that we played in the first game, it would be there. But I don't know if we should be going down that route. I think we should be definitely playing in daily amount as much as we can before it goes. Like there's going to be days that we can make money in the future. Like, we look at the jerseys as well. Like, we're doing very well in that way. I don't know if I go down the route of trying to do it every year or something, you know.
Yeah, I'd agree with that as well. Like, I think, I mean, it was job done, you know. I think you're hearing between 3,000 and 4,000 basically cleared the debt from last year. I wouldn't want it to happen again this year, definitely. I don't think that'd be on the cards, but like having it like the first game of the season every year, I don't know, that would lose its appeal a bit pretty quickly as well. And if we're going to do that, maybe you probably couldn't be Rovers all the time either. Like, I'd say Pats would nearly pull as much of a crowd now as well, you know. So, I don't know. I think it's job done. Great stuff by the club, everyone that was involved in organising it. I don't know. We'll just have to, you know, we probably will need to make a few quid every so.
If we don't qualify for Europe, like, maybe we'll have a conversation then. But in the here and now this season, I wouldn't be doing it again anyway.
Yeah, I definitely can't see it happening this season, for sure. I think that'd be probably left, as I said, maybe an annual fourth game, manipulate the fixtures. Pity we didn't have Shells and Drada on forehand as a bit of an undercard, because we would have got from 33,000 probably to 45. So, it would have been nice to have that extra few bob in from the two clubs. But alas, we move on. And the game itself, I think it was one of those games where, you know, we got the goal, played well first half, and then I think Robert looked a bit tired team throughout, but I think still that bit of quality and that know-how just to constantly retain the ball and not lose it. I also think we probably sat a bit too deep in the second half. I don't think we had a shot on target in the second half, or even a shot in general. Just felt we probably could have done a bit more. I don't know how you felt the game. We went obviously jubilant and couldn't complain too much.
Yeah, yes. I actually watched it back as well. You know, I thought, like, it was what you said, we played well in the first half. I thought we were okay up until we got the goal, and then we got a bit of a spark then. And between the goal and half time, we were brilliant. Like, it was the best I've seen us play under Reynolds anyway. We should have scored another one. Rooney should have scored. Maybe another couple of chances where the final ball just wasn't there. But we were super in that spell. And then second half we came out and we sat back again. There was some great defensive performances, I thought, but I thought we just never looked like we were going to score at all. There was a lot of just kicking the ball straight down the neck of Lopez, and it was coming straight back at us every time. But we answered it well. I know we got very lucky with them missing an absolute sitter or two, but like, it could have gone either way. But at least just, you know, sometimes it's your day, and we took it that day, you know.
Yeah, I thought we defended really well, which was great to see. When you're going to sit back like that, you're going to obviously come under pressure, and you're going to have to win headers and win tackles, and we really did that. And you want your keeper then to step up and come be commanding, and he was brilliant at that. Him, Cornwall, young Moynihan in the middle as well, really, really good. To be honest, if they had a nick to draw, you would say fair enough, but overall, you know, we're well worth the win. Like, I think we're very good in the first. We're definitely the better team in the first half, and really, like, we defended quite well. Like, the main chance they had was a mistake by us. You know, that back pass there in the first half, in the start of the second half by Mutiny, like, which was poor. But other than that, they had a few chances they probably should have scored, but I think we just defended well, and it was one of them hard worked wins, like, you know. I'd say Rovers was a great time to play them, obviously after them in sandwich between the European games. You couldn't have picked a better time to play them, and I think they did even tire out towards the end, where we were comfortable enough sort of defending whatever they were throwing at us. So very good start to the season. Definitely, there's no doubt about it after that first game, yeah.
Yeah, I suppose we'll touch on a couple of the team selections there. I think I looked at Mountaineer, obviously it was pivotal to the experience of the back line, the whole thing together, but I've never seen a footballer look so awkward on the ball. I know he was left back in his position, but it just reminded me of some male lad that got dragged down to the five sides, played with the lads in his face. Like, he just didn't look like... just didn't look like a footballer from the back.
I said to you in the pub after, Jordan, I said he looked like a Gaa player just lobbed in there. Like, he just awkward looking, but...
he is from Mayo, though, so like that. Yeah. That would fit, wouldn't it?
Hopefully,
doesn't mean he loses all the time as well, though.
No, exactly. Yeah, big games. But, I think they were... I think this team selection was good. Like, you know, I would have pretty much picked that team. Left back again would have been the one I wasn't sure of, because none of us had seen the young fella best yet. So I think for a big game like that, you put in the experience, and yeah, it was a good team selection, and I think he got his subs pretty right as well. Yeah, like, I mean, our midfield is very strong now. I mean, there's options off the bench everywhere there as well now. So that's very positive. But like, when that little trio we have in there, very hard. Like, teams are going to struggle when we're on it. They really are going to struggle there. And then getting it out wide to Parsons, I remember from last year being fast, but geez, on that big pitch, he did a flyer. Like, he turned Lopez inside out for the goal. Like, and yeah, he was really good, especially in the first half as well. So that bit of pace, now I'm looking forward to seeing him and Daly Mount going at players as well. Like, that's, we haven't really had a good winger in the last 2 years, really, have we? So we need like someone with a bit of pace, and anytime balls are any use, we have good wingers that are going at people, you know.
Yeah, when you're playing 4-2-3-1 for a lifetime, your wingers are sort of where you can probably expect a match to happen, really, especially in League of Ireland. I suppose we did have Connolly, didn't have much end product. I know Danny Grant came back and did a busted flush. I suppose we'll touch on, Pat, I'll get you probably to touch on again, a man in goals as a former Ireland prospect, to another James back in the
That's generous of me now, in fairness. Yeah, I thought he was brilliant. You know, I presumed he'd probably had the better pre-season, because, I mean, you wouldn't have thought Casper was going to get dropped. He was player of the year last year. Now, but I always thought James Talbot on his day is the best keeper in the league. And if we get him back to there, he's definitely our number one. So I was delighted when he was starting, but I was a bit worried because he's had a few bad games against Rovers over the years. He seems to get in his head, and, you know, I think they've thrown stuff on him, and he'd just be all over the shop like sometimes. But he was proper on it the other day. I thought he was brilliantly, really commanded his box. And that's what we want. Like, you know, he was on the edge of his box. He was first to everything. And was delighted for him. Actually, nearly a bit emotional watching him at the end with thumping the jersey, kissing the crest and all. Cause, you know, he really...
You sure that wasn't a drink?
I was perfectly sober before the match. Now, I only had 2 points or something. But, yeah, he was... yeah, it's great when you see how much it means to him. Because he does. He loves it. Like, you know, he does love the club. And I was delighted for him to get back in there, I have to say.
Yeah, and I suppose, Kerry, I'll get you to touch on the probably most pivotal bit of the game was the goal. Obviously, Parsons beat his man, fell out. I'd say the big fat meal sort of being a couple of stone either, might have been him getting it in that turn.
It was actually great. But if you actually watch it back, Moose was right behind Tierney when he put it in the back of the net. They were queuing up. It was a brilliant goal. Touchline, you could just basically see right behind. It was brilliant run by Parsons, and as you said before, he nearly broke Lopez's ankles, turning him inside out, and then to cap it all off, then McGinty took out Matthews and he had to go off, so it was brilliant.
And then of course the celebration in front of the Robert Twyfel. It was nice to see that not happening to us, wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, Tierney, it was staunch celebration, I have to say. Now, I was buzzing now when I seen that at halftime now. Yeah, it was great. Great scenes when the goal went in, I have to say. Now, it was, I had to leg it out of the stadium.
What did you make of the atmosphere on the... Sorry, go ahead, Pat.
So I was just saying, after we scored, I'd had a fucking nightmare that morning. I'd locked Katie out with a gaff, and she's ringing me saying, gonna have to come back. I'm like, we scored. I'm like, there's not a fucking hope I'm coming back. So I ended up running out of the stadium, ordered a taxi, ran up the Belvoir Bridge and threw the keys in the taxi. So came back in for the end of the first half. So yeah, that would add it to the day in the end, if anything. But
what did you make of the atmosphere at the game? It was hard to get going, really, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think, look, as I said, the MBB were like a wake-up cult. They were down the front doing their own thing. David Koresh in the middle of it all with his megaphone, although I think they didn't charge the batteries this time. But I think we're fine with the view, but the sound travels from the back down to the front, not the way around.
Yeah.
But it was like caveman around the fire with the drum at the front. It was like just not on the same length as the rest of the fans here. Like, it sounded like it's coming from sort of under the roof, I think, with Travis down. I actually thought it was quite good when we scored, you know. Look, when you're fucking 1-0 up in a derby and you're bleeding, biting your nails and all the action happening down the other end of the pitch.
Yeah.
Never really any atmosphere. It's just
it's very big stadium for League of Ireland. It's hard. It's always, even in cup finals, it's hard to get it going. People start singing. Like,
it was plenty of noise, I thought.
It was, and fair play to the MBB lads trying to start. But like, if one's starting and people at the back aren't, it's hard to work. It doesn't really work. And it's a 2 o'clock kickoff as well, you have to remember, you know what I mean? So it's never going to be as good. And like, at the place, which was great to see, is full of kids and families and all. So yeah, I don't think anyone was expecting it to be an electric atmosphere, really. But like, it was grand, you know. Like, it was what I was expecting. Like,
yeah, as we all went back to Fisbury, jubilant, saying to Honley, the old local.
It was great to see everyone. It's great when everyone's on that sort of buzz now. It's great now, I have to say. Jim did well now. There's a good old crowd there all night, but it looks a bit like I went home early enough now. But the videos are going on late enough. It's always a good sign.
Yeah, it was a sorrowing day. The next day, had no voice, no money. The only time I got out of bed was to go for a piss, and I was straight back under the sheets for me anyway.
Me and Brian don't have that luxury, unfortunately.
No, not at all.
With a late flight back to the other side of the world, so I had to get out of town. But we'll move on to unfortunately the fucking inevitable, of course, happened. We went up to the Brandywell, jubilant. There you go, watched them on Friday night. We were fairly piss poor against Shells. They didn't look at it. They looked like not interested. They looked like so out of shape. A few travels up there. We were sort of left contemplating, here we go again, really. You've made that long journey. Folks, where did it all go wrong?
I don't know. I don't know. You can use. There's a lot of excuses you could probably factor in here, and I don't really want to. But like, you can factor in the trampoline of a pitch. The wind was shocking up there. Looking on the TV, you could tell how bad it was affecting the game. The long trip up as well, and then so soon after such a big day out, like it was more or less, it was kind of like a cup final, really, like a mini cup final the week before. I don't really like calling it, because Bradley would love me saying that, but like, if you factor it all in, you could kind of see how flat we were. But there should be no excuses for it. It was nowhere near good enough. We paid them far too much respect. And the goal aside, from their point of view, they were actually desperately poor, like really poor. They created nothing as well as us. And both Talbot and Marr had very little to do. But as I said, there's no excuse for the performance. It has to get better. If it doesn't improve very quickly, like, Reynolds will have a few enemies on again, because I think there's people are already willing to queue up to get behind his back, or to get on his back again, like, you know. But I'm willing to draw a line through that one, but I'm expecting a major improvement on Friday.
Yeah, I'd be the same. It was a poor game. Actually, I missed the first 20 minutes because fucking fire stick wasn't working, and then end up having to sign up for League of Ireland TV. And I was down in the in-laws' house, met our cousin's fella for the first time. He was probably thinking, this fella's some prick. I just ignored him for the first 20 minutes, but eventually got watched. So I missed all the fucking action, because after that, it was a really poor game. Like, we probably had a little 15 minutes in the start of the second half where I thought, right, we might get back into this. But other than that, it was just one of them games. It got past everyone. It was bypassing the midfield, and it's no use winning games like that. And no. I'm just going to agree with you. I'm going to just write it down, write it off as, you know, early season, shy pitch. It really is a fucking bad pitch.
Yeah.
And it's rare you watch a good match on it. It's terrible and really windy. And to be fair, that prick Duffy always fucking scores against us. It's a cracker of a free as well. So, you know, it was one of them. Whoever got the first goal.
Caught the wind as well, didn't it?
It caught the wind. It was flying in.
There was nothing you could do about it. Like, I know people would say, oh, it was right. It was savable, but I don't think the pace on it, like, I don't think anyone was going to.
I was flying in. It was right in. It was clipping the post as well. Like, it was a great free rather than, I wouldn't be blaming Cantalbot on that now. Yeah. But to not put Maher under pressure, I really don't rate Maher. I think he's a poor keeper. We didn't even put any decent balls in on him or, make him come. He flaps at everything. And that was really disappointing. I don't think we had a shot on target for the whole game. Listen, second game of the season, would you have took 3 points out of the first two? You probably would have. So, we have to. The problem with the thing I'd say is, it's been a problem the last two or three seasons. If you have a good big win and we don't fucking match it the next week, we just don't back it up. And it's really disappointing. Like, and it's been a proper like flaw in the team. Like, they just get up 1 week and then they're really flat the next week. So we need to bounce back straight away this week, the next two games. But it was a poor game, and it was one of them games neither team deserved to win it, not nearly, because it was that bad, Fortunately we came out the wrong side of it. I'm just was glad I wasn't up there. You were up there, Jordan, were you?
Yeah, the way I looked at it was we were first in all ball and we were second to even less. Ray didn't get going. I was looking at I haven't since he came in. I think he has his finity moments. Like, the couple of times there, we had ball comes, but he just gets knocked off, even up in Derry.
You just have to remember, though, his first ever senior game was when he came back from Brighton to play for us. He's only played about 10 senior games. I think he's a brilliant player.
I think he's a lot of attention. His position and all is excellent. And I think he's a little bit...
He has the stature as well.
He can be a bit naive and a bit soft maybe at times, but I think he's a good player. I think he's got bags potential. He definitely wouldn't be a worry for me. I think he'd probably be my first centre-back I'd be picking, to be honest with you.
I would have probably kept him over Bournemouth, but I know Cavanagh is Reynolds' signing, so he'll definitely be looking to keep him. He's worked with him in more than we have. But... that was a centre half. I know Keane Best
You would have kept Byrne over Kavanagh.
Well, obviously, Kavanagh was always. I think Kavanagh was always one of the ones that was going to stay. I'd imagine he's probably on more money than Byrne. He's a couple of years older, than Byrne. And
he's a much better player than Byrne. He is Reynolds. They're both too young for his centre back's not overly positioned. I'm not worried about at the moment. I think we have a.
Graham looked very well when he came on, I thought.
Yeah, I presume Cornwall. Does anyone know that was he injured? I thought that might have been more tactical because we were going to have a bit more of the ball with the wind.
I don't know. He had a couple of ropey moments in the first half now, but I presume it was tactical as well. I don't think it was. I hope not anyway. Do you know?
He's got a very good. A lot of people talk big him up, your man Graham. Anyway, so I think he's a good signing as well. Left back now. I think you were going to bring him up there, Jordo.
I think it was a bit
wrong. A lot of people giving him a lot of stick. His first game and all. It'd be another one that, after the team a few times, he does look quite small. And it's one of them full backs we've had the last few years that, just a bit weak and kind of make the odd mistake here and there. So definitely wasn't a debut to write home about anyway.
I think he'll start performing in the games that we have a bit more of the ball and we can actually get down and play football with. That wasn't going to happen on Friday. It never happens. No team ever goes up to Derry and gets the ball down and plays. I'm not really sure why he started him in the first place, because he kind of threw him into the deep end there, didn't he?
Yeah, I was surprised, to be honest. It was a very sort of attacking team nearly, I think it came back to haunt us really. I think you probably have to go up anytime you play in Derry and you just set your stall out to, get a point there. It's not the end of the world at all. We're a little bit naive maybe, but and as you said earlier, Keller, they were poor, they were poor. They were there for the take, and that was the main annoying thing. But listen, I think we could probably all agree just draw a line in the sand and on that game. It was.
We just need to see an improvement on Friday. We don't see an improvement, so I'd be starting to get worried. Like,
yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I suppose we'll probably touch on a couple of players. One being the Moose. I think Reynolds. I think people do have to be patient. Both fans are quick enough to fucking on people, and this time you said it won't be long before people start calling him a fat money grabbing cunt. Now it's quick to post out the thorn, but Reynolds is right. People need to like fucking wait for him to get up to speed. Like, you can see the quality is there when he's on the ball. It doesn't matter, he just needs to shed the timber and get up to speed.
He definitely
needs to get up to speed. You can see he has the quality, like we've seen him in the preseason as well. He scored some crackers, and I think it's just, I don't know, I wouldn't be writing him off at all. Anyway, like he looked good first half against Rovers. Derry, I think another one we can draw a line through, because like I think he actually should have scored in the first half. He had a header under the post. He probably should have done better with. But other than that, like he got in zero service. We were just hoofing it up to the wing, and the wingers couldn't get past and couldn't get any ball into the box. Like, so, I wouldn't be too worried just yet. I think maybe on Friday against a ropey enough Cork defence, he might have a better chance. But yeah. I'd nearly start with Whelan, give Whelan a go Friday first, and then get Moose on at the end, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, he definitely, in the first, against Rovers, even his movement and his touch and all, the touch for the setup to goal, like, he did look like a bit of quality there, but like he was feeding off absolute scraps the other night. Like, so again, couldn't really judge him on that, but yeah, he definitely needs to keep working, because he's a few pounds to lose yet. Like, but like, I don't think we can be fully relying on starting him every game either. You know, I'd sort of agree with Brian there. Maybe start Whelan this week and spring him on then, because you know, if you know you're only getting 50 minutes out of someone, it's sometimes psychologically everyone knows that, and you can nearly start switching off towards the end of that as well. So yeah, I'd nearly mix it up a bit this week, I think. But like, yeah, I wouldn't say he's been disappointing, but like, you can see the quality in him, but you know, a lot more to come hopefully from the lad.
Yeah, I think Reynolds, as I said, key word is patient. Just have to be patient at the moment with him. Well, another player we'll touch on, which hasn't seen any game time, is one of the two James that actually haven't seen any game time, but it's James Clark. He didn't come on in the Aviva Stadium. I thought maybe the game might have been put done with him, for just to grab the ball and move us up the pitch 20 yards. It's kind of player, you know, the ball falls at his feet, he can beat one or two players, and he can just bring you up yards and get fouled, and you know, just give us a reset and a bit of a breather. And I brought McDonald on, played him nearly in the number 10 as a presser in the Aviva, but we're up in Derry, just looking at this game, I'm like, this game is screaming out for him. Just the ball to fall at his feet, take it down. He's the one player on the pitch that can do that, and just lose by one or two players. And, you know, it was the best we've seen of James Clark was when he was behind Lafalabi. He was able to put those balls through, you know, after making a bit of space. I don't know, I didn't think the Reynolds fancied him last season, and it's really looking at this moment that doesn't fancy him at all this season.
Yeah, couldn't believe he didn't come on the other day. I mean, that game, it was asking for something. Derry were starting to tire. Let's start running at them, and it just doesn't put him on again. And even against Rovers, I thought maybe it could have been, probably would have put him on ahead of some of the lads he did. He just doesn't seem to overly fancy him, which I know he got his contract extended because we had the option of another year, but why did he bother if he's not going to? He just doesn't seem like he's part of his plans, really. I don't know. Is he just not doing it in training or something? Because, like, it's a serious fall from grace. He was our best player by a long time, long, long way 2 years ago, and didn't get much of a sniff a lot of the time last year. I don't know. He's definitely fallen out of favour with him, but I think it's a bit harsh. I definitely would have brought him on the other day. Absolutely.
Yeah, I think the game was crying out for him on Friday, definitely. Now, not so much the Rovers game, because we were 1-0 up in the last half an hour and backs against the wall for a good bit of it. So I'm not sure bringing him on there rather than like a McDonnell or a
Yeah, you're
Mikkelsen
probably right, actually. Yeah.
Did well. But Friday now, definitely, I would have thought, get him on, let him have a run at that Derry defence. You saw what happened, what Shells did to that Derry defence 7 days before. Get him on. I don't know if he overly fancies him as well. Like I think there was, remember the game where I think we were in the corporate box, some of us, last year we played Waterford and we were winning at half time and we went down, we were 3-2 down and he was warming up and we were all kind of singing a song. And we're like, come on, get on there and do something. And we were roaring at Reynolds to get him on. And he came on, ran out of player, won a penalty. Obviously, we missed it, but he like, you know, he obviously, I don't know, for some reason, he has some thing against them. I don't know, maybe it's just not for him, but it was definitely crying out for him on Friday.
Yeah, and I suppose another man out of the picture at the moment is James McManus. Remember at the time when Norwich came in with the bid, whatever it was, 300 or 400,000 euro, I can't remember what it was, but like, for every one McManus there is in Ireland, there's 1,000 in League One and League Two that don't make the grade. But we were mad not to take it at the time, and don't know, sad to see us getting any sort of big fee like that again from it at this present time.
Yeah, I sit beside, his dad sits beside me in the dock in the earlier. So yeah, Pat, he's a sound bloke. Yeah, he's just very unlucky with the injuries. Like he's done both legs. Like, you know, in how unlucky is that in the 1 year? Like, so he's probably just not fully at it yet, you know. It's two bad knocks to come back off. He is a tidy little player and he's still only a young fella, so I'd imagine he's definitely still in his plans. It's going to be a hard midfield to get in. It's going to be, the thing with that team is now whoever gets in is going to have to try and stay in. Like, you know, you're going to really have to, you're not going to get too many chances, so whenever he does get his chance, he's going to have to really show up. But listen, he's a great lad to have it there, like whenever we need to put him in. Like, there's going to be games that will really suit him. Maybe them first two probably weren't that anyway, so but again, we don't know how fully fit he is yet. That's probably the main thing there, I'd say.
Yeah, well, he played a good bit of pre-season now. I kind of feel sorry for him. He was the only fit player that didn't make the 18 in the two games so far, so they feel, but maybe trip out on loan for 6 months maybe might do him no harm. I don't know, we'll just send him to the first division. This is a bit of a, I don't know, punters
getting kicked around there probably wouldn't suit him either, you know.
Yeah, that's the thing, like where would you go, like, you know? So it's a tough one. But I was at the members forum with Reynolds a couple of weeks back, and he did mention him a couple of times, like without being prompted to, like, he mentioned saying he was coming back and all. So I think he's definitely still in the plans, but maybe just not so early in the season while we're trying to find our footing with the team, you know.
Yeah, I suppose hopefully he does get back up. I think I know Bucko sort of has to be there on the bench, McDonald, but you probably want that different option of where, you know, one pass or one player to break it up. So maybe it could be McDonald or Bucko that gives way on the bench for McManus when he comes back. But I suppose we'll move on into the bit of
a the thing game. As well. It's sorry, before you, the thing as well is we have a fully fit squad at the moment, and in 3 weeks' time, we could have three or four injuries, and then we're going to need the likes of Clark and McManus to step up then, you know. So that's all. I know people say, oh, they're not getting a game now, but like, there's every chance that they're going to get a game when the injuries start.
It's a hectic month now, isn't it? March is a rake of games, yeah. So you will pick up injuries along the way, especially the heavy pitches and all that. So listen, it's no harm being stacked in that sort of position, because that tends to be where you get your most injuries as well. So
I think hopefully he's just saving them for the massive Leinster Senior Cup quarter final we have ahead of us as well, you know.
Who do we have in that?
The draw hasn't been made yet, but we're looking out for it.
You'll be the man to know that anyway.
Big day out. Big day out, that will be.
Yeah. We'll move on to a bit of a broader aspect of the league, and probably Shells are probably going to be the team to beat this season, which is bizarre when you sort of look. I know they've signed well, and that meatball lad looks good. That man looks going to come in and probably do well for him, but I have a Shells friend, and he was sort of And I said, no, she has better really get into that. But I was, he'll possibly even bench. And he goes, man, you've got Lunny, Tulloch, and Coyle. I'm just thinking, like, these cones have won midfield. None of them get nearer midfield.
Well, I don't know. I think your man Coyle does a serious job for them. Like, any time I watch him, he's fucking barely passed the ball straight, but he just seems to get around the pitch and be in the way all the time. And whatever system they have, it just seems to work for them. Like, the thing with them is they've been going a couple of years now, most of the squad nearly, and they're just a great team spirit. Like, they've kept on to nearly all the ones they wanted this year and strengthened. Like, that lad up front looks a very good player. And I think he's going to bang in the goals. Like, they were always going to be in the mix. Like, with Duff as a manager as well, he seems to be able to get every last bit out of them. So, they're definitely going to be in the mix. There's no doubt about it. Like, I mean, I know we took a good few points off them last year, and we always seem to be able to absolutely compete with them and beat them every other game. But they are a good side, and the team that's most consistent is going to be the one that's going to win this league this year. That's the way it is.
They signed well. They seem to sign well. The your man they have Coyle in there, and the other Baldy fella they signed as well looks handy too.
I thought they were the same bloke. I was like, that fucker's everywhere there. So, no, I like to go to there. Fuck's sake.
Yeah, he's a Scottish fella. I think Duff worked with him at Celtic. You know, he's a decent enough fella. Like, they're finding the consistency early again, you know, and they did that last year and built up a decent lead, and then obviously waned towards the end, but they still got over the line because of their consistency they found at the start of the season. Then they're starting to find it again. Like, I think they play Rovers on Friday. That's a huge game. Like, Rovers get beat there, like, that'll push Shells on again.
They'll push Shells 9 clear of Rovers after 3 games.
Yeah, well, obviously they'll have only played the 2, like, but I think the first 2 weekends now, it's going to be another mad league again. Like, I think everyone has gone off. Pats are come flying out the traps, and they've probably a bit of expectation on them now on their shoulders, and they haven't really been at it at all. I thought Drogheda would be get hammered, and they've 4 points, you know.
You're Stephen Kenny. Question the last season, has he got the mental health to come back into this league? Towards the end, weighing towards the end, but pause.
That's
after the season, a bit of pressure and crank up
in Kenny. Yeah, they've big expectations now. I think most Pats fans fancy him to win the league. I think most people, if you had asked who they think they're going to win the league at the start of it, would have had Pats probably favourite. So, but listen, it's 2 games in. You can't really judge anything yet. It's too early. Like, it really is. Like, anything can. And the first couple of weeks in a league are always a bit mad. Like, it's just, we done it 2 years ago, and Shells done it last year. You know, if you can get a good start,
Pats, like, they I think they lost Lennon there before the game on Friday. That's a massive loss for them.
Did they? Yeah.
Then they have Forrester. You got injured in the warm up. And then they had Forrester coming back off the bench. I think he played the last 5 minutes. Once he comes back and firing, they'll start unlocking defences. Like, you look at the 2 games they played, Drogheda are massively underrated. Like, they won the cup last year. I think they lost 2 games between July and the end of the season, and they were 2 games where they had already been, they're already confirmed to be 9th, and they were getting ready for a cup final. So, like, and then you look, throw in Pats, they're playing against the back 5 of Drogheda. They were, like, you know, fancied to win 3-0 and couldn't get past them. But people just write off Drogheda like they're going to get relegated. They're a decent side, like, you know. And they kept all of that squad together from last year. I think they only lost Piero and then Webster retired, but they still brought your man Keely back in, and they signed well. Some fella on loan from Swansea, so Thomas, I think, seems to be a great signing, scored on Friday as well.
They always do well with their loans, don't they, Drogheda? They really nail them, don't they? The last couple of seasons, they managed to get lads that are really exactly what you want in a loan player, lads that are real hungry and trying to get themselves going.
That's the Walsall link has worked for them there. Like, they had Freddie Draper come through that way, didn't they? And what's his name? James Taylor was brilliant last season as well. But Pats. If I was a Pats fan, I wouldn't be too worried. Yeah, it's February. Once it gets into May, June, when the pitches start get better, the likes of El Bezzetti and Mulroney will start firing there, and they're going to run. I've no doubt about that. But it's just about keeping up with Shells, because Shells get the consistency and go 12-13 clear. Like, you know, it could be too much then, you know.
Yeah, I suppose we'll touch on the other team who was probably expected to be in the title race. Rovers, I'm looking at their squad, and I know you can't win that in this time of year, but you can certainly use it. The window closed on Sunday. Only really signed free agents at the moment. Looking at the squad, and I don't know how. I know the summertime can come, they can probably take a couple of players off a lab, you maybe hinted, a couple of others. Well, they could be a good bit off looking at that squad by the time that comes around.
Yeah, no, I think with Rovers, I think I was listening to the LOI Central earlier on, and Barry Murphy was kind of hinting that they were going to sign a striker before the week was out. It must be a free agent because the window's closed. But I don't know who they're going to get in, but they just seem to always, and it's just always, there's always, when he comes back, but like, it's always that, do you know what I mean? I don't know, I think they haven't really found any consistency in the past couple of years other than the European run. But like, if they do get the close players back, and like they'll beat anyone in the league. Like, if you look at it, if someone was to say to you, name one team in the league that if they're playing a match and they don't play well but still win, it's always Rovers. They always find a way.
Still absolute quality there. But I just couldn't get over, like, with all the money they're after making, how they haven't spent some of it. Like, they just couldn't believe how little they signed. Like, I really thought they'd load up the squad, which is an aging squad now. Now, I think they probably have a bit of faith in some of these young fellas coming through as well, but there's something, there is definitely, obviously we all know there's a bit of in fighting there and stuff, and Bradley going against some of the board and whatever, and even all his outbursts the last few weeks, there's obviously something, they're not overly happy there at the moment. But I just found it bizarre that they didn't tap into some of that money they've earned in the last, like, obviously they went on a great European run.
I think
it's mad.
I think they're waiting for the summer.
But as Jordan said, the summer could be too late. Like, if they do what they did last year and they're that far behind a good Shells or a good Pats, they won't catch them. Like, so it's.
But look what we did. Look what we did last year. We didn't wait until we just signed when we went in the window, and we ended up. They have a squad there that's still capable to be second or third in the league, but till summer, even first. Yeah. Like, if they can get Gaffney fit, obviously that's a big ask. Or if they sign some fella in a free agent, and he bangs in a couple of goals, they have the midfield to score goals. Like, do you know what I mean? I think they'll be fine, and I hope they won't be. But I think they are waiting for the summer. I imagine Afolabi's on the list, and I think there's a couple of lads in the UK that are out of contract in the summer that they're thinking of bringing back as well. So I don't know. Maybe they're just buying their time.
Bringing these lads back from the UK, if they don't hit the ground running, really, and they come back from the UK, you know, Benny Grant came back after a month.
That's true. Yeah.
Wayne Linegar and vodka, double vodkas every weekend. But, you know, if these players come back on 2 or 3 week holiday, getting back the ones that haven't played in down in the League of Ireland, they don't take me long to kick in. And lo and behold, they get back to the league and they find it a lot harder than they suspected.
Yeah, no, they do have quality, and they'll be thereabouts, like, unfortunately, there's no doubt about it. But there is definitely, there's something not right there. If we'd 6-7 million that we've just made out of Europe, I think if you're a Rovers fan, you'd be a bit pissed off at what they're going into the season, what squad they have at the moment. They won't be a million miles off, as Brian said either. Like,
yeah, I'm not sure. I think the outburst from Bradley are bizarre. You know, I think it's a man who realises there's a bit of pressure on They probably, I know you're saying they won't, they have 6 or 7 million, but I think about 20% of that is in players' contracts if they get that performance. That's fairly standard thing across the League of Ireland.
Yeah, it is, yeah. I remember Dundalk actually didn't make half as much as you think. They fucking Stephen Kenny had got a massive chunk of it.
They usually do that.
Like, yeah, you throw it in for your bonuses. That's usually the way. So the carrot and the stick.
If you cut a couple of million out of it, then you're down to 5 million. Probably talking about a million in expenses flying across hotels, preparations. And then you're probably looking at covering their debts from the last couple of years. Like, they right racked up over 2 million the year before. So, you know, that only clears out that. So, lo and behold, you might not have too much left in the fucking in the old kitty after everything's spent and done.
I think they'll be all right. I wouldn't be...
As I said, Brian, you're the realist.
I wouldn't be waiting on their demise. Wouldn't be holding my breath for that.
Yeah, I suppose we'll move on now to the doubleheader this weekend. Friday, Monday, Cork and Drogheda said down to Thorners Cross on Friday. Bit of firepower down and we're all lining up what we can get at the back defence. I think it could be a high scoring game. Hopefully we're coming back on the right side of it.
Yeah, I'm going in this one. You're going as well, Brian, aren't you?
I am indeed, yeah.
Yeah, our first bus trip. So, I didn't go on any last year, so I'm looking forward to I think it's a big one, isn't it? It's been a while. Yeah. I'm buzzing for it, I have to say. But I think it's in terms of the match, like, I think we really have to start well and just get stuck into them from the start. Like, similar to we went down there, was at the start of the Divine year, and we had a great win that night. I think we need to set the stall out pretty quickly in this game and get right in amongst them, and it's a big week. I think we've three games against teams that you'd want to be finishing well ahead of, you know. So you want to be probably getting 7 points there if you're setting little mini targets. But I think these next two you'd want to win them, you know. And I don't know much about Cork, to be honest with you. Obviously, your man Maguire is back up there. I think they're not bad up front, but I don't know much about them, to be honest. So I think it's a game we should be going and winning, though, because, you know, they don't seem to have strengthened it massively. I think they lost some of their better players to Cove and stuff as well, I think I was reading. But it's a game. 3 points, definitely, should be the target here on Friday.
Yeah, I think they'd be a decent side now. I know they gave Galway problems on the first game, but like, they have Bulger in the middle, who's going to cause us obviously problems. We know all about him. And then they have a young fella, O'Sullivan, who's supposed to be very good, 17-year-old. I think the sounds is that he's going to go to the UK when he's 18. And then obviously Maguire and Keating up front. And then I think there's another fella, Dykesteel, that someone's been talking about. I haven't seen him play now, but it's supposed to be decent. But the worries with them, or they're not worries for us, but is that they have a kind of a ropey enough defence. So let's hope that's the case, and we can just put more past them than they put past us. But like, I think I know you're looking at the two games, Friday, Monday. I'd just be looking at Friday. Let's just go win Friday. I presume that's what Reynolds will have into them. It's just go take it one at a time. Like, in this league, like, it's like 9 out of 10 times, like, it's the team who performs the best on the night is going to win the game. Like, if you go out and put a half-hearted performances like we did on Friday, you're going to get beat. Like, the team that wants it more wins 9 times out of 10 in this league, and we just need to go out and want it more than them, and then we'll be fine.
Yeah, I suppose we're looking at it going in, and I said take Friday first and then look at Monday. We do have a bit of a tough run in general. Like, I was just looking, if it's only area away Friday, draw is a Monday night, that's a home. That's our only home game until the end of March, I think. Waterford on the Friday after, and the Friday after with Pats away. So we've got basically 4 consecutive Fridays away from home. I was lucky to play every game 4 times regardless, but it is a tough start, and hopefully we can maybe look towards Daily Mail if there are points dropped going back in. But in regards
once that Pats game is over, we have 5 of the next 7 are then at home in Daily Mail, so we look at it that way as well. Like, we have,
I think that's when it gets into silly season, where it's Friday, Monday, I think.
Yeah.
But suppose we'll just tip on what we think the squad's going to be. Imagine Talbot still remains on nets. The boy hasn't put a hand wrong in fair from him. You still see Morahan and the boy being the centre defensive mid. I think I'm be happy enough to stick with this.
I don't see much change. I think we maybe go back to the first day. I would be surprised if we see the same team as the first day. With maybe, as
I'd
me and
say it'll
Brian
be,
said, maybe Whelan or instead of Moose.
Probably do it, bringing on the Moose with 20 minutes to go, tired legs, and then maybe start my Monday against Drogheda, where Drogheda going in maybe a bit tired after playing on Friday night.
I think it's going to be these double headers. You are going to need to use your squad. You know what I mean? You're going to have to mix it up a little bit. I'd sorry, but I'd expect to see Bucco play a bit more in these two games. Maybe I think he's looked sharp enough when in them little cameos he's made. So I'd expect to see him get more minutes under his belt. But yeah, we'll definitely have to mix it up. Like, it's tough going this time of year playing two games and. In 3 days, so like I'd say it would be
I
pretty. I'd say I
wonder
don't think
if
it'd be too many changes now on Friday,
I'd
anyway.
say Cork were kind of I'd say Cork were fuming their game was called off the other day. Like, I think it, I know Rovers are obviously happy with it. They had played so many games and there are not so many injuries. But at this stage of the season, when you're only playing league games, you want to get games under your belt. So I wonder what kind of effect that will have on them now, being basically 2 weeks without a game. At this stage of the season, hopefully that works in our favour, but you don't know,
Yeah,
they could be chomping at the bit to get at it now after that load of bollocks the other day, which doesn't look like Rovers
good
made
work
much of an
either
effort
way.
to get that game on, did it? They were delighted to get it called off, but yeah, no, hopefully we can catch them cold, as you said. You're right. Like, this time of the year, games under your belt is massive. So, I think we need to just start the game better than we did on last Friday. Like, really do. Like, you need to get in their face. And I think that any ball, like balls, this the last couple of years, like you can nearly tell after 10 minutes whether we're going to be at it. And like, if we start cold, we really find it hard to get into games, especially if we go a goal behind. Like, so we need to really be at them from the start, because yeah, like this is a game we should be targeting to win, absolutely.
You
Cork only up.
don't want to be as far away from those teams, don't you? You want to be getting points above these teams and not getting sucked into any sort of relegation danger. Oh, well, it looks like Sligo are going to be the whipping boys, isn't it?
Again, two games. It's hard to say, but they haven't. Their squad looks pretty weak,
That's
doesn't it?
true.
Like,
Yeah, I think they're probably going to be the punter's choice to go down this season, for
yeah,
change.
I agree with what Brian said. I think it is. It's one game at a time. Like, even thinking ahead to Monday, like I don't know. You'll have to see how what bodies are fresh then after Friday night. But we've depth in that squad, and you said we have no injuries at the moment. So we should be in good shape now for these sort of double headers compared to a lot of teams. So,
We should be playing if there's a full fit squad. Like, you look at, like, there's we've two players that can play left back. We've, I don't know, two or three that can play right back. We've four fit centre halves. Well, three fit centre halves, and then Lacey is actually injured. And then how many midfielders do we have? Like, and then two strikers who are chomping at the bit to try and play every game. Like, there should be fellas playing out of their skin to be playing every game. And if we don't see some of that coming to fruition over the next couple of games, I'd start getting a bit worried, but I'm expecting it.
yeah, I suppose we'll get you to get your own a bit of opinion there. Obviously, the voice of vigor, the only way you can change things is by winning games. What's your own 2 pence on Reynolds? I don't think anyone can have complaints about the recruitment, but this needs to transpire onto the pitch.
Yeah, I'm happy. Was very happy pre-season, especially the last maybe 2 weeks, 10 days. He signed very well, and we do have a, as I said, we've a decent squad there now on paper. It's just getting the most out of him, and I do still question some of his in-game management at times. even touching on the Clark thing. I mean, everyone in the WhatsApp groups was going, bring on Clark. He didn't do it the other day. I don't know what he was doing getting involved. He's presumably suspended now on Friday, like getting involved. That was fucking stupid as well. So, I didn't want him as the manager. I know a lot of people didn't. He deserved to get it this window anyway at it and have a fair crack at the whip. But still a lot to do to convince me and a lot of Bowes fans that he's the right man there. But I hope he proves me wrong. But
I think difference I look at him this year and last year. This year he actually looks like he gives a fuck.
Yeah, I don't mind them at all. Like I know I can see why people have a gripe or have an axe to grind with them. Like, you know, last year it wasn't good enough, and then the Croatia team. I don't think we need to go back into it. But obviously, this season the recruitment has been on paper brilliant, excellent. We have a proper squad, two players for nearly every position. It's just time we start seeing the fruitions of that. The games are going to be the teller. If we don't perform, there's not much else he can say. He would just be straight on his back.
Yeah. Suppose. Look, I get a little prediction ahead of the weekend. What points are you think we're going to get in each game? Give us a result.
I'm going to say we'll beat Cork 2-1. And score draw with Drogheda.
Dampen of the Monday night.
I'll go 2-1-0 wins.
I'm gonna go 2-1 Friday, and I'm gonna go 2-1 on Monday also. We'll be having it on Friday, Monday turnaround. I know Drogheda are full time, but with that squad running over.
Can I just mention as well if there's anyone on the bus on Friday, give me and Pat a can there, all right?
Yeah. We'll sign autographs.
Thanks for a good podcast. Yeah.
You see, the Fodican Challenge man and the man that's also holding on to the last bit of hair. I know I'm not too far behind either of you. But just get a bit of how you think the season's going to pan out.
It's hard to tell at this stage. Two games in, as we said, one decent performance, one desperate performance. If you had asked me before the season started, I would have said we'll give it a good go. I'd like to see us finish in the top four or five. If it's like, you know, we've just given Europe a good crack. If we fall short, we fall short. But a good cup run as well would be great. Like, winning the cup this year is better than finishing second or third in terms of Europe. So a good crack at that. But I think especially with looking at the last few year cup finals, like the big day out and all, I think a lot of teams will be aiming for that as well. You know, maybe the teams in Europe might get caught out. They usually do get caught out in the early rounds, the teams in Europe. But it depends on the draw, I suppose, doesn't it?
Yeah, I'd agree fully with that. That's, I think, a good crack at Europe, try and get fourth in the league would be great. I think we're going to be too inconsistent to be any better than that, to be honest with you. There's still a little bit missing. I don't think we have a proper fella that's going to bang in loads of goals. And you could sort of deal with someone that's going to get 15 to 20 goals to have any chance of proper competing, you know. And I just think we're still probably a bit soft. That would be a little bit too inconsistent. But listen, the very least, a much better season than last year and challenge for Europe. Anything less than that, I'd be disappointed. And the bonus of a cup run would be good too. But that's what I reckon, anyway.
Yeah, I said, I think we're starting to wear at this stage. I remember saying, I think everybody in the league has won something since we last won them. I know you might say Galway and whatever won fourth division, but everyone of substance, including Drogheda.
We won the Leinster Senior Cup a couple of years ago. We won the Leinster Senior Cup 2 years ago.
Provincial champions, bro. Not to be shunned upon. Right, man. Thank you for your time. And as we say all the time, on the fucking ball.
You're not going Friday, are you? Sure, I don't know.
50-50, Patrick.
50-50, right? So we might see you then, and I'll see you there, Brian. Look forward to having a few pints with you.
See you. Yeah, looking forward to it now.
Good night, and God bless.
We bring the 3 points back.
Cheers. Come on, boss.
Cheers. Thanks, Otto. Come on, boss.
As we all follow boss wherever they play, we don't care if it's home or away. We are the boys, and we're proud of our name. So we'll all bounce around and we sing it again. I said, "Line."